James Kagambi, why is your nickname KG? What shadiness have you been up to that you're called KG, and what does it stand for?
It really doesn't stand for anything. One day I was just writing my name Kagambi and highlighted K and the G, and somebody came by and said KG. And when they started that, I was so happy, because before then I would go to the mountain and some people would not pronounce Kagambi, they would call me Kikombe, whatever, Kigombe. And so KG came at the right time.
KG it is. Yeah. Okay. So KG, when was the what was the first mountain that you summited? Tell us, take us back. How old were you? What year? Where was it?
What I can call a mountain that I summited, that was Point Lenana on Mount Kenya, 1983. And it was challenging. I didn't know anything. I was just out there with jeans and cotton t-shirts. And, you know, I suffered. I had a lot of headache. And I swore I'll never go back to a mountain again. But on my way down, sliding on snow, I looked back and I said, I think I'm hooked.
Why did you do it in the first place? You're in jeans and a t-shirt, and yeah, you've never thought about summiting a mountain or climbing a mountain. Why did you do it in 1983?
I did it because, I liked traveling. That time I was a teacher. And every time during holidays, I would just take off, go to Amboseli, go to somewhere just to see something different. I would get in a bus and go to Marsabit, sleep and come back. And then, so I'd say, the mountain is right here. In fact, before I summited, from where I was teaching in the forest school, I just walked through the forest. But I didn't go that far because it's very thick. And I was like, I need to do it.
That is so bizarre to you. Like, what do you, when you look at kids these days, focused on computers, iPads, phones, spending all their time scrolling, what does that make you feel? I mean, you're a complete adventurer and explorer. Mm-hmm. You just wake up one day and cruise around the country. What does it make you feel for generations of today?
It's actually so bad that sometimes I find myself in the same boat. And now, one of the reasons that I want to be out there is to forget those things. Unfortunately, for kids using phones, you know, you ask them, what is 2 times 2? We go to the phone right away. And if you tell me 20 times 20, I don't have to do that. I just answer it. I'm used to it. And I wish that would happen. And that's why I actually encourage them to go out to where there is no network. Miss that for like 3 or 4 days and see how it is helpful to their mind.
You're going to miss a lot of things on your 70-day trek up Everest. Why are you trying Everest? Why are you trying to summit Everest?
I have a lot of reasons. If I go back to 20 years, my reason for going to Everest was to be the first black person on it, black African. But then years after that, somebody else from Lesotho summited it. And then later on, I started thinking about, I have done so many big mountains, why not Everest? And then as years went on, I really don't want to be there, because Mount Everest, it's the highest in the world. But I won't say that it is the best mountain to climb. I won't say it is the hardest. Actually, it isn't. I have done even worse. It has become so commercialized. But now, this time, I'm going for a reason. I'm joining the first black team on that mountain, and we are making history. And the reason why we are doing that is to sensitize other people of color and even Kenyans that you can come up with a dream and make it. Also encourage them to know that mountaineering is not just for one race. Other people can join in and have fun.
Ooh, are you scared at all? It's not going to be easy, as I'm sure you're well aware. I get scared of just thinking about Longonot. But what preparations have you been undertaking for Everest?
I'm usually not scared going up a mountain, because mountains vary. I could go to the mountain, Mount Kenya, and I'm going for 4 days to summit on the 4th day. Kilimanjaro, summit on 5th day. Aconcagua, summit on 15th day. Denali, summit on 38th day. I usually find that I get nervous the night before I do the summit. But as soon as I wake up and start the journey, everything goes and I focus, because I know it is important to focus for safety reasons. And because I teach safety, that is my first thing. And I always think about, especially people around me, are they safe? And am I safe?
What is this obsession with summiting? Is it, I mean, what is it with humans and summiting mountains? What does it mean? Like, why are we obsessed? Why are you obsessed?
It's not just about summiting, but I can also say the simplest thing to say is that when I'm on top, I know what is below me. But when I'm below down there, I don't know what is on top. But it's not about the summiting, it's about the journey. How you get there. If you are going as a team, working as a teamwork, if you are going on a challenging mountain that has crevasses, that has ice falls and all that, the amount of input, whatever you put in to make sure that the group is safe, what are you dealing with? You learn so much. You question yourself. You ask yourself, what if? You don't just say that everything is in order. You ask yourself, what if? What am I going to do? So
do you know that the team that you're going to attempt the summit of Mount Everest with? You know the team inside out?
I know the main team, because here we have like three teams. We have the team, actually four. We have the team that is aiming to summit. We have a team of like two or three people who are only going to camp two. Then we have a team of about five people who are only going to Everest Base Camp. And then we have a team who are covering the whole thing on video and all that. And lastly, we have a team of partners. So if you are married and you want your wife to come to Base Camp, they are also coming. For me, I don't have anybody coming. We at least 22 people.
KJ, I can totally come and make tea for you. If you want me to come, I'm so ready to come and hang out at Everest, but I'm not going further than first little
camp.
One. But yeah, before I vomit, that's when I'll stop. What's the worst experience you've had on a mountain, and where?
The worst experience I've had on a mountain. I've been in the mountains for so many years that I've gone through many things, but I wouldn't call it the worst. I would say maybe the most challenging or the most scary. Coming down from Aiga is a mountain in Switzerland, which was used by Hitler before the Second World War. If you summited Aiga, you get the mountain. You got in the army. So in 1991, I was invited to South Africa for a wild peace of mind. Went out there, met Secretary, and he gave us a flag to take out. And on our way out, we had a blind climber, we had some young kids, and unfortunately, I was the only one who made it from Africa.
Wow.
And on the last day, we had to be evacuated off the mountain because bad weather was coming. The people who took me helicopter, I refused to go down. One, because we still had all the ropes up there, and I did not want to be crushed. So I asked the director, do you want to stay and clean all this? And we did. Over 12 hours, we went down, the weather became so bad. And it was so misty, I couldn't see even 2 meters beyond me. And we started going down when we were done. It's at night now, it's misty, I can't see anything. Fortunately, I had done that three times. And we got to a point and I said, stop. And he stopped behind me. And I went down, and I'm reaching out with my hands, I can't see anything. We were 1 meter from my feet. So I realized that, and as soon as I felt that, I knew exactly what, and I knew that.
You're giving me height scaredness or like anxiety just from a story. Oh my gosh, please come back to Capital FM after you summit. Are there any fears about not summiting, or you're just gonna do it?
That comes a lot, and also it's a lot of pressure for me to summit. But as a mountaineer, I know one thing. It's not, well, we have goals, and I have my own goals of going there. And I don't believe that the goals will be achieved by just summiting. The goals will be achieved by being there and do what we want and working as a group. They're going to make a movie out of it. So it'll be shown out and hoping that people can learn from that movie. So it's not just about summiting. If I don't summit, how will I feel? I would feel like I failed. Especially, I've been supported by so many people, especially here in Kenya and US. And I feel like I've failed them. But still, again, I look back and say, I've summited so many mountains in the world, having planned it myself and gotten to the top where I've never been, that not summiting Knowles will not demotivate me. But there's still that feeling. But also, I am not going to jeopardize my life for a summit. That said, there are other things that can come in that can make us not summit. You know, like the last Kenyan who tried, I think 1999, the second time he didn't go far because of an earthquake. So if something like a calamity like that comes, that's it. You still feel it. These people have put a lot of money into me and I haven't summit.
No. Well, Bitika supporting you on this climb, and yes. If they won't be mean, but if they are mean, you tell me and I will tell them where to stop.
They wouldn't be mean. Actually, one of the understandings, in fact, it did not come from me, it came from them, that we are doing this, but please, we want you to come back alive.
Please do, they because there's always next that, year.
Yes, and I said, yes, I will.
Please come back alive, and please come back to Capital FM when you do summit Everest.
I will.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.